How you doing there? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we studying Daf Mem Tes, Daf 49 of Masechta Bavli Metzia. Friends. Yo, friends, I am so tired. Where am I? What am I doing here? Oh, okay. So we're starting Daf Mem Tes. Yeah, what can I tell you about Mem Tes? It's like a daf, and then we're only going to get to the Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes Mem Beis, which means tomorrow we're going to have a lot of work to do. Tomorrow's going to be a really hard daf also, but it's cool. We're starting tomorrow the sugya of Onah, of overcharging and undercharging. Tomorrow's daf is going to be really hard, I think. It's going to be difficult. But it's cool. Bava Metzia, what a mesechta. All right, here we go. I got a call in about 45 minutes. Let's see if we could be done by then. I don't know. We'll see. If not, I'll have to finish recording it later. All right. Lema ketanoi. Wow, chever, I am so tired. Wait, one second. Give me a sec. All right. Okay. Da da da! I'm so tired. I'm just kind of exhausted. I haven't really slept much the last few days. Let's see. But whatever. Who cares, right? Right. What are we talking about? Right. Okay. So we saw machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan about. When you leave a deposit, does the deposit is it kone or does it, yeah, is it only considered like you acquired the part that you paid for it? Or is it the whole thing, right? So meaning, for example, if you put like a down payment on something, so you don't pay for the whole thing, you only pay for part of it, so can the seller theoretically renege on the other part, meaning... Certainly the part that you paid for, you can't renege, but do we consider it like the down payment essentially acquires the whole thing and you just have to then pay the rest of it later? Or does it consider like the down payment only acquires the part that right, that you paid for and the rest, theoretically, the seller can renege on, no problem. So Rav was of the opinion that the down payment only covers the part that you paid for. Rabbi Yochanan says that the down payment, it's considered like you acquired the whole thing, and you just need to pay the rest, but the seller cannot renege at that point. So now, let's say that it's taka like a machlekes tanoyim. Where are we? Hamalve es chavero al hamashkin. V'nichnisu hashmita afal pisha eino shove ela peleg. Eino mishamit. Divre shim begamli av rebuta anosi omer. Yemoyim mashkin kenega avo osu eino mishamit vim lav mishamit. All right. So, Shemitah's Ksafim, right? So, if Shimon lends $1,000 to Reuven, so then comes Shemitah, or specifically the end of Shemitah, so then if Reuven has not yet paid back Shimon, the loan is waived. Now, there's like a shtickle kind of exception to that rule, which is, if I understand correctly, if Reuven gave Shimon a collateral, so Shimon lent Reuven $1,000, Reuven gave Shimon a collateral. Well, if Reuven gave Shimon a collateral, so then the loan is not waived, it is it persists. Okay? So the Shaila is, what if Reuven gave Shimon a collateral that was only worth $500, half of the value of the loan? So that's the Shaila. And we're going to try and tie this in to the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, with regard to a deposit covering the whole loan or only the part that it, you know, the equivalent. Okay. So lema kitanoi, let's say it's a machlokes tanoim. Amalves chaveru yala mashkin. So Shimon lent $1,000 to Reuven. Reuven gave Shimon a mashkin. V'nichnasu hashmita. And now it's shmita. And the shaila is the loan waived? Af al pi she'enu shove ela plag or peleg? What's the vote? What do the people vote for? Peleg? So even though the collateral is worth only half of the loan, Shimon lent Reuben $1,000, Reuben in turn gave Shimon a collateral of $500, half the value of the loan, Eino Mishamit, it's sufficient, and the loan will persist. It will not be waived at the end of Shemitah because there was a collateral. Divrei Shimon Gamliel, it's Shimon Gamliel's opinion that even though the collateral was not equal to the value of the loan, it does its job and the loan will not be waived, it will persist. Rabbi Ranosi, oh, Mrs. Rabbi Ranosi, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's son, Im hoyo mashkin kineged halva also einu mishamit vim lav mishamit. Rabbi Ranosi says, wait, a loan, you know, a collateral is not just like a free pass. It's not just like, oh, I gave a collateral, now, you know, it's not like, well, because there's a collateral, the loan automatically persists. That collateral needs to be equal to the value of the loan. If Shimon lent Reuven $1,000, so then if Reuven gives Shimon a collateral worth $1,000, so then the loan persists. But if the collateral is not the equivalent of the loan, if it's $500, half the value of the loan, well then the loan is waived. Okay? I hope that I didn't confuse anything. And if I did, I'm sorry. So, fine. Where am I? So, my Eino Mishamit Dekamar Reb Shimon Gamliel. I hope I didn't skip. Sorry, I'm really tired. When I say that I'm really tired, it means like I can't talk straight. It means that like I might confuse things and not realize it. But other than that, like I'm not like falling asleep kind of tired. I'm just like exhausted. Whatever. Fine. Well, he's not falling asleep yet, but I don't think I'm like in a, like I'm not in like short-term memory loss situation. You know what I mean? I'm just like so freaking tired. Okay. So where are we? So my Eino Mishamit Dekamar Reb Shimon Gamliel. Okay. So by the way, so this first sugya that we're learning now, the first part of the Gemara, requires us to go slowly as we're doing. After that, it kind of picks up speed. Just FYI, this is like a real sugya, but then after that, it's going to pick up speed more. Anyways, so when Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says that when Reuven gives Shimon a collateral worth half the value of the loan, well, then the loan persists. So, my name is Shami Dikamar Reb Shimon Gamliel. What does Reb Shimon Gamliel mean that the loan persists? Well, if you're going to say the equivalent of the collateral, so meaning Shimon lent Reuven $1,000, Reuven gave Shimon a collateral worth $500. And Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying that the loan then persists even after Shemitah. What does it mean persists? If you're saying that it means that it persists, meaning the $500 can get the collateral, right? Reuven gave Shimon a $500 collateral, so the portion of the loan, the $500 of that collateral persists after Shemitah, but the rest, where there's no collateral for, which is not represented by a collateral, but there's no collateral for, so then Shemitah will waive it. But if that's the case, then when Rebbe says that collateral is worth less than the value of the loan, so then it accomplishes nothing and the loan is waived, then that means that even the portion equal to the amount of the collateral is going to be waived, right? Meaning we're saying that Shimon lent Reuven $1,000, Reuven gave Shimon a collateral of $500. Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying, so those $500, right, that the collateral represents, so those $500 will persist, the rest will be waived. Rebbe disagrees and says, no, it's only going to persist if the collateral is equal to the equivalent of the loan. Otherwise, it's going to be waived, which means that the entire thing is going to be waived. So, Mechlal, the Rebbe, Yehuda Anosi, so Avelach Palganami Mishamit, that Shemitah then, since the collateral is worth less than the value of the full loan, less than the full value of the loan, so the loan is going to be waived. That means the whole thing is going to be waived. Even the part connected the collateral. Elamashkin dunokid lomali, then what's the point of the collateral? The assumption is that, you know, the collateral needs to accomplish something. And if you're saying like Rebbe, that since the collateral is less than the value of the loan, so the loan is waived, so what does the collateral accomplish? Elamashkin dunokid lomali. So Ela lav shmamina, shmamine no, must be that my einu mishamid tekomi b'shem megamlil einu mishamid b'chulo my mishamid tekomi Reb Yehuda Anossi lach palgo dilo nokit ole mashkin. So rather it must be that the machlokas is that Reb Shimon Megamlil is saying that even though the value of the collateral is half that of the loan, nonetheless, since there is a mashkin, the entire loan persists. Since there is a collateral, even though that collateral is half the value of the loan, it doesn't matter. The loan will persist because there is a collateral. Reb Yehuda says no. Reb Yehuda Anossi says no. What persists is only as much of the loan as is represented by the collateral. If it's a $1,000 loan and $500 collateral, so $500 will persist. The rest of it will be waived. So now that we've established, or we think that we've established, the machlokas between Reb Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe with regard to, does the $500 collateral persist the entire loan or only the part of the loan, only the $500 that it's equal to? So let's say that this machlokas between Reb Shimon Gamliel, who says that the $500 represents, right, it persists all 1,000, and that Rebbe, who says that the $500 only persists the $500. So let's say that it's talking the machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav saying that the collateral only represents what the collateral represents, and Rabbi Yochanan says that the collateral is kona all of it. So where am I? Where am I? Uvahakam iflegei. 5 lines into Mem Tesamid Aleph, and this is the machlokas. Do Rav Shimon ben Gamliel sovar kineged kulo koiner? That Rav Shimon ben Gamliel holds that when you have a collateral or a deposit, it essentially acquires all of it. And therefore, the collateral that Reuven gave Shimon, even though it was only half the value of the loan, it works as though it was equal to the entire value of the loan and the loan will persist. But Yehuda Anossi Sofer, as Yehuda says, like Rav, kinegdo hu kone, that the collateral is only going to be kone, the amount that it is equal to, like Rav. Lo nisht. My einu mishamit to ka'amar Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. No. When Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says that when you have a collateral that is worth less than the value of the loan, so the loan will persist, it only means the portion of the loan equal to that of the collateral, so the $500. Implying that Reb Yehuda Anossi then holds that lach palga dunokit ole mashkin nami mishamid. But if that's the case, then that, as we said earlier, then that would mean that Reb Yehuda Anossi says that when the collateral is worth less than the value of the loan, so then the loan is waived entirely. The loan is waived entirely. So then what's the value of mashkin dunokit lomale? So what's the point of the collateral? The point of the collateral is just as a reminder, right? So that, you know, Shimon sees that he has this collateral lying around that he got from Reuven. It reminds him, keeps top of mind that there's, you know, don't forget about this loan. Don't forget that you're owed money by Reuven. But in terms of Shemitah, since it's worth less than the value of the loan, so then it won't accomplish anything and the loan will be waived at the end of Shemitah. Okay, that was the hard part of the daf. The rest of it, maybe it would move quicker, but the daf also gets a lot wider now. So, you know, it's a trade-off. It's not as hard per se, but there's more to it. I don't know, maybe you can hear my voice now. I feel like my voice, oh, I'm so tired. I could like fall asleep right now. But again, that's the difference. Like, I could fall asleep, like if I wanted to like put down my head, but I'm not, it's not like my eyes are closing. I'm just really, really exhausted. I like, I haven't been sleeping. All right. Where am I? Yeah, okay. So let's do it. Ah, I think I was going to say, maybe you can hear it in my voice. My voice is getting kind of dry. Dry and exhausted. Rav, Kahana Yaivu Le Zuze Akisno. So if Kahana, they gave him money, okay, for flax, I guess you for linen. I guess he was linen mongering. So they gave him some money for some linen. Le Sofi Yakur Kisno. But then the value of the linen went up. And I guess he hadn't yet given the linen to the people. He had received the money, but he hadn't yet given the linen to them. Also, the Kahana to Rav, so Rav Kahana comes before Rav, Omar Le, and Rav says to Rav Kahana, B'mai, the Nikitas, Zuzei, Av, Lehu. Look, whatever money you've received, you must make good on that. You must deliver equal to the amount of money that you have been paid for, the amount of linen that you have been paid for. V'idach, but that, the remainder, the outstanding balance, the outstanding linen, Devarim Ninu, it's just words. You said that you would give it to them, but they never paid you for it. V'dvarim ein b'hem mishum mechusu amano. And words are not a violation of mechusu amano. So yeah, you said that you were going to give them the rest of the linen, but they never paid you for it. And, you know, now the price of linen went up, it's okay, you can renege on that part, and that's totally, totally fine. Did mind that it was stated Dvarim, that when it comes to words, I guess a commitment, it sounds like a verbal commitment. Rav Omer, Ein Boi Mishum Mechusri Amana. Rav says that there's no issue of Mechusri Amana there, of untrustworthiness. Rav Yochanan Omer, Yesh Boem Mishum Mechusri Amana. Whereas Rav Yochanan says that, if you don't follow up on your verbal commitments, so then you are not trustworthy. Meisvei Rav Akasha, I believe on Rab. Meisvei Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda Omer, Ma Talmud Omer Hin Tzedek. Why does the Pasuk need to say a righteous hin? A hin is a measurement, it's an amount. V'alo hin b'chal eifa. But after all, the Pasuk had already said eifa. What does it say? Mosne Tzedek, Avne Tzedek, eifa Tzedek, v'hin Tzedek. An eifa is bigger than a hin. So memele, if you have to have a righteous eifa, memele, you have to have a righteous hin. So why are we talking about righteous hins if we already have righteous eifas? V'alohin b'chal eifa oyo. Elo lo maloch, to say to you, she'hein shalchot tzedek v'lav shalchot tzedek, ho ho. That when you say yes, it should be yes. And when you say nisht, it should be nisht. That you have to be a fellow of your word. Yes is yes, then no is no. So therefore, so it sounds like, why is Rav saying that you can say one thing, but you don't actually have to honor that commitment? Omer Abaye, says Abaye, ha'u shelo yidaber echod bepeh ve'echod balev. That when it says, she'ei hin shelchot tzedek, v'lav shelchot tzedek, it means that when you say yes, you really mean yes. When you say no, you really mean no. Now, in this case, it's a little bit different because when Rav Kahana had committed to the linen, he really meant to honor that commitment. Now, in the end, he had only been paid for part of it and things changed. There was a new reality. The price of linen went up. So if that's the case, you know, it's not a violation of, you know, because the point is that when you say yes, you mean yes, and he did mean yes. But then subsequently things change. And in that case, you know, if it's just Devarim, so Rav would say that you could renege, and it would not be an issue of Mechusu Yamana Meisve. We have a Kasha. Reb Shimon Omer says, Reb Shimon, Afal Pisha Omru. Ah, maybe I should whisper. No, I don't think I should whisper. Wow, my voice is like so dry. I'm really exhausted. But like I'm not exhausted where I'm like falling asleep, you know? I'm exhausted where I'm just like freaking exhausted. My voice is like so out. My head is so sleepy. And I feel like I could just whisper and fall asleep.
yeah, like this is really comfortable. Just chilling.
Yeah, like this is this is really comfortable right now. I gotta drag myself out. And we gotta babble. Just babble. Just babble. Just babble. Just babble. Even though they say that the talis is kona dinner zov, vein dinner zov kona talis, as we know, that it's the peiris, it's the object that you pick it up, and that's what makes the kinyan, not the transfer of money, but nonetheless, mikomokum nonetheless, kachaloch aval amu, they said, mishapar miachidur amabul, umiachidur aflogi, ooh, Osili Porea Mimi, Shaina Omi Bidiburo, the Abishter from the flood and from the door of Flaga is going to get you in trouble. And we had also said there that right that you have to have right what does it say over there? It says Vanosev and Osim Bidvarim Lo Konova Chosebo Enu Achachom Noche Emenu, and that somebody who does not honor his verbal commitments. So we see that it is not good to ignore your verbal commitments. Where am I? Tanai. So we say, you know what? It's taka machlokas tanoim. We want to say that it's taka machlokas tanoim whether it's acceptable to be chozer on your verbal commitments, because we just saw that you shouldn't in this brisa with the Shim that you should not be chozer on your verbal commitments. But now we have another brisa, the tnan that we learned in the Mishnah. Maisa b'biyechnon b'masyo. There's a maisa with the b'biyechnon ben masyo she'omer levno that he says to his yingle, tzev ischor uschor lanu pe'alim, go out and find for us workers. Holach, he went out.
Excuse me, I'm rubbing my nose. Sorry, mom.
So Holach, he went out, ufosak loim mizoinis. So he went out, and not only did he find workers, he offered them a suda. And then when he comes to his father, Amlo, what does his father say? Bini, my son, afilo ato oise loim kisuda shloim b'shaitoi. Even if you make for them mamish the greatest of the greatest sudas that there ever was, lo yotzos yidei chivoscho imoim, you will still not be honoring your commitment to them, because they're the children, they're the einikloch of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and because of the einikloch of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, mamish, they're zoichet to the biggest suda that's even bigger than the biggest suda, and they're zoichet to unlimited quality of sudas. So by offering them a suda, you can't actually ever make good on that commitment. So Ella rather says his father, Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya, you're gonna have to limit it. You're gonna have to, you know, put some limits and better define what kind of a suda you are going to supply. Ella actually yaschilu b'mlocha, before they start doing their work, say v'amor lehem, go and tell them amanashi in lochem olai ella pas v'kidnis bovad. People, by the way, FYI, when we're talking about a suda, we're talking about bread and beans. And if it enters your mind that verbal commitments, there's an issue of mechusu amana if you do not honor them, how could he have said to his son, I want you to retract, renege on your offer for a poshut suda. So how could that be? How could he be chozer on his commitment? So it must be that Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya holds that you can be chozer on the dvarim. To which we say that isn't really a good proof, because shiny awesome, it's different in that case. The workers themselves didn't actually rely upon this little yingle. My time out. I made the yadid alavua. So obviously they knew that this yingle wasn't paying for the suda, his father was. So mainly they knew that, you know, if they're getting a suda, it's going to have to be approved by the father. They didn't really rely on the yingle. Yochi, if that's the case, afilu ischilu b'mlocha nami. Well, then why did Rabbi Yochanan ben Masi Davka have to tell the son, make sure to break the news before they start working? Even after they started working, they weren't actually expecting to get kishleim b'shaiter. So ischilu b'mlocha v'adei samchei d'atai. They say, no, once they start doing the malacha, then no, of course they're assuming they're going to mamash get a malchus d'kesuda. Because they said, meimar amar, clearly, if we're getting started on the work and nobody ever qualified and said, "Yo, oh no, by the way, you should know, it's just beans and bread," so it must be that the son told his father and his father was cool with it. So by then they are expecting it. And that is why Rabbi Yechonon ben Masi had to tell his yingle, make sure to break the news before they start working. Now, did Rabbi Yechonon really say that when it comes to verbal agreements, it would be not honoring a verbal agreement would be an issue of mechusar amono? V'amr Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amr B'yechonon, ha'im el-achveroi, maton ani noisin l'cho, that a fellow says to his fellow, I'm going to give you a gift, yachol achzor bo, he could reneg. Yachol pshita, obviously he could reneg. Just saying that you're going to give a gift, you know, obviously you can renege, right? It's like the nafkamina between can I go to the bathroom or may I go to the bathroom? I assume that's probably everybody has that experience in every door. Every door probably has that experience. A young fellow needs to, can't wait till the end of class and he asks if he can go to the bathroom and the teacher has a good time. It's not can, it's may. Ha ha ha. That was a good one. Okay, akoponim. So, where are we? Yeah, where are we? Yochel achzabo pshita. Oh, no, so a fellow tells his fellow that he's going to give him a gift. He's allowed to be chozer. Obviously he can be chozer. Never made a kinyan, never did nothing. Obviously he can be chozer. And if he is chozer, it's retracted. Sure. So ele mutter lachzor bo. The chiddush is that, no, it's permitted. It's 100% okay. Interesting. So it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan is saying that there's no problem with reneging on a verbal commitment. So Amar Papa, so says Amar Papa, look, there's actually a distinction. It depends. It depends on the size of the gift. If it's a small gift, don't renege on that, because the person who you're gifting it to is assuming that, like, oh wow, this person is like actually giving me this thing. It's expect, as if like if he says, oh, I'm going to give you my house. It's like, what? Really? Is he really actually going to give me like it? You know, it's like a little bit, wait, I'm not actually sure that he really is going to give me his house, but like, I'll give you like, a piece of pizza. That's very nice of you. So in that case, you shouldn't renege. Hachinam mistavid is tako oichit, makes sense. Amar babo, amar b'yechanon, Yisrael sha'amar le ben Levi. Or Yisrael, who says to a Levite, Kor Meiser Yesh Lecha Biyodi. I have a core of Meiser for you. Right? A Levi eats Meiser. Yisrael does not. Meiser Rishon. Or at least he's got to offer it to the Levi. And so he says to the Levi, look, I have Meiser for you. Now Meiser is not considered like a house, right? It's more considered like something that's believable, that's small. Ben Levi Rashad Asosu Chumas Meiser Amoko Macher. The Levi is able to say, oh, Givaldik, I have other Meiser in other places. I'll use this as my Trumas Meiser. And now that other Meiser is no longer Tevel, and he's going to now eat the other, assuming that he just used this Meiser as Trumas Meiser, that he separated the tenth that he needs to separate from his Meiser. Iyomet b'shlama lomotzi l'mahadar bey. So if you say that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, for smaller gifts, you can't renege, well, Mishum Achi Rasha, that's why the Levi is allowed to say, great, I'll use that as Chumas Meiser. Eli Yomar Tmatzin Mahadir Bey, but if we say though, that he can always change his mind and renege, well, then it would be problematic for the Levi to use this Meiser for Trumas Meiser. Amai Rashi, why is he allowed to use it for Trumas Meiser? Ishtekach to ka'achil tvalim. Because if he ends up, if the gifter ends up reneging, well then, if the Levi is assuming that he had separated Trumas Meiser, relying upon that committed Meiser, well then he's going to end up being Tevil, because it isn't actually Meiser, because the guy reneges. So rather, it must be that he can't renege if it's a smaller gift. To which we say, not necessarily, we can argue that here it's talking about that the Levi actually had picked up the Meiser and then given it back to the Yisrael. That is why the Yisrael cannot renege anymore, because it was already a kinyan. If that's the case, but I'll tell you the continuation, that if the gifter gives it to a different Levi, so the initial Levi, you know, he could be annoyed with the giver, but at the end of the day, that's about it. You know, he could just be annoyed, but if he ended up giving it to somebody else after he said he was going to give it to the first Levi, you know, it is what it is. It works. And if it enters your mind that it's talking about where the Levi had picked it up and given it back to the gifter, well, then am I ain't lo olav el taromas? Then why are we saying that if the gifter then gives it to a different Levi, well, then it belongs to the second Levi and the first Levi is like annoyed, but that's about it. Well, if the first Levi had picked it up and made a kinyan on it, well, then kevin demashche mamonius legabe. Well, since that Levi had already picked it up, since the first Levi had already picked it up, it would belong to him. So rather, it must be talking about where the first Levi did not pick it up. And therefore, if he gives it to a second Levi, you know, okay, the first Levi is annoyed, but that's about it. So we see it's talking about where there was no kinyan, and still the Levi can make it Trumas Meiser, because the assumption is that you don't renege on smaller gifts. How gaver the yoiv zuze asumseme. So there was a certain fellow who gave money for sesame seeds to a sesame monger, a sesame seed monger. Apparently sesame seeds are kidneys. How gaver the yoiv zuze asumseme. Lesof Iker Sumsume, then the value of sesame seeds went up. Hadru Behu. So the sesame seed monger says, wait, 1 second. Meaning he had only received the deposit, he hasn't received all the payment. Is this talking about a deposit? No, this might not be talking about deposits. This could be talking about just, he gave him money, but then, I think he gave him money. But then before he had an opportunity to, take the sesame seeds, the value went up, and then the sesame seed monger was like, wait, we don't have any sesame seeds. Shkozuzach, take back your money. Lo shakil, the sesame eater, didn't take back his money. Lo shaka zuze, he didn't take the money back. Ignuv, and then in the end, the money got stolen. Oh, so the kami the Rava, now they come before Rava. Now what? Amale Rava says, look, kevin the amre loch shkol zuze v'lo shaklis. Look, sesame seed buyer, since the sesame seed monger told you to take your money and you didn't take it, let me buy you shomer sachet lo ave elafidu shomachinim na'amin lo ave. Well then, sorry, Buster, but like, you know, the sesame seed monger told you to take your money, you didn't take it, he's not responsible. So Amu Le Rabbana, the rabbi said, Le Rava, V'abay Le Kabbalu Ad Mishapara. Yeah, but what about Mishapara? He's not, the sesame seed monger can't just like renege once he had already received the money for the sesame seeds, right? That's the whole thing in the Mishnah, Mishapara. That once you already received the money, you're in big trouble if you renege. So Amu Lehu Achinami. So Rava says, yeah, those are two separate things. In terms of Mishapara, yeah, he's in big trouble for reneging, sure. But in terms of, is he chayev for the money? No, he told the guy to take back his money, so he should have taken it back. Omer Rapapi says, Rapapi, Omer the Ravina that said, Ravina, the Ravina said to me. Rapapi says, Ravina said to him, Lididi Omer Li, the Ravina said, A certain rabbi said to him, Ravino, Rav Tvus Shma Shmei, his name is Rav Tvus, Vamilo, Rav Shmo Bar Zutro Shmei, some says Rav Shmo Bar Zutro, the Havu Yaive Lei Kol Chalola Da Alma Lo Ave Ka Mishani B'Dibure. And this rabbi was so trustworthy that even if you would have given him all the hidden treasures in the world, he would not tell a lie. And listen to what he told me. Bididi Ava Uvda, I'm the alleged Sumsimi monger. And this, I'll tell you what happened. What happened is not that I had sold sesame and then the price went up and I didn't want to give it to him. That is not what happened. It's a very different story. How Yema Panya de Malay Shab Sahava, who's Erev Shabbos. Fabi Yasivno, and I was sitting in my house, Vasahu Gavro, and a certain fellow came, Vakoya Above, and he comes to the door. Amrli, he says to me, Istoch Sum Smel Zabune, do you have sesame seeds to sell? Amrli, lo, I said, Nisht, I don't have sesame seeds. Amrli, Avu Anoch Zuze Bipikon Gaboch to Achoshkoli. So he said, okay, fine, but I have this money. Can I leave the money with you for Shabbos? Because it's getting late. I can't have money anymore. Can let me leave it here. Amilais, you know what I said to him? Look, my house is open to you. If you want to put him in here, put him in here. You know, my house is open to you. So Osvinu bebeis of Ignuv. And then this fellow put his money in the house, and then they got stolen. Also, the Kami de Rava, they came for Rava Amalei, and Rava says, "Kol abeso kamach." That innocent error, right? Since what this rabbi had said was, "My house is open before you." Lo mi boyu shom esachet lo ave el afilu shom achinim nami lo ave. Well, in that case, he is he's not responsible. He never accepted himself. He never said, "Yes, I will be your shomer." He said, look, you want to leave it here? My house is open to you. That's all he said. So he's not chayv for the theft. Amrilei, so Ravina says, but I said to this rabbi, le rabon and le iboy le kabul le mishapara. But what about the fact that they had then said to Rava after he gave his ruling that, what about mishapara? In this case, there's no mishapara. Mishapara would be in the initial scenario where the sesame seed monger, after having received the money, says, you know what, the price went up. I don't want to sell it to you anymore. But this is not the case. It's a case where a guy wanted to leave money over Shabbos. And he said, look, my house is open to you. So what does that have to do with Mishapara? Vamuli and the rabbi said, Lo hayu dvar me'olam. Yeah, that part's just simply untrue. People said that it happened. That part never happened. There were never any rabbis that went to Rav and said, what about Mishapara? That never happened. What I said happened is what happened. Somebody came right before Shabbos, said, can I leave my money for Shabbos? They said, my house is open to you. It ended up getting stolen. And they said that I was off the hook. Okay, I have about 5 minutes left. You think 5 minutes is enough to finish this daf? I guess we'll find out. Reb Shimon Omer, Kol she'akesef biyado yado al ayonu v'chulei. So Reb Shimon had said that whoever has the money is upper hand. Right, according to the Tanakhama, they had said, a guy goes to a gold monger, so then if he gives the money for the gold but hasn't received it yet, so according to Chacham, technically speaking, either one can renege because he hasn't made a kinyan on the gold yet. He hasn't picked it up yet. Rav Shimon said that only the seller, only the goldmonger can renege. The buyer is powerless. He can't renege. Tanya, we learned in the Brisa. So Rav Shimon says, Rav Shimon, emosai. When do we say this? Bizman shakesev aperis biyad mocher. When the money and the fruits are still with the fruit monger. Aval kesef biyad mocher, but if the fruit monger has the money, uferis biyad lokeach, and the fruit eater has the fruits, and he made a kinyan mishich on it, well then, eino yochol lachzor bo, well then, neither one of them can be chozer at that point, mipnei shekasbo biyado, because the fruit eater has the money. Biyado biyad mocher. What do you mean the fruit eater has the money? The fruit monger has the money. And l'pnesha dmei kasba biyado. No, it's because the value of what he paid for, of his fruits, are in his hands. So meaning because he made a kinyan mashiach on the fruits, that is why the deal is done. Pshita, that is obvious. That once he did a kinyan mashiach, then the deal is final. So, Omar Rav says, Rav, Ocha b'mayos kinon. Kigon shehoiso aliyah shalokeach muskeres biyad mocher. Here, what are we talking about? We're talking about where the fruit eater was actually the landlord of the fruit monger. The fruit monger's geschäft was in the fruit eater's house. And the fruit eater now comes to buy peiris. Now, of course, though, we had said that giving money for the peiris alone is not enough. According to Reb Shimon, we had said that everybody agrees, even Rish Lakish, who says that it's about the Mashiach, he says that he can't hold like Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon definitely holds that it's the money that makes the kinyan. It's the money that makes the kinyan mida oraisa. However, we were concerned that what if there's a fire? He's not going to, the fruit monger is not going to have any interest in saving it. So therefore, Reb Shimon says, therefore the fruit monger could renege so that he will then save it if there's a fire, so that, you know, because he could potentially, if it increases in value, he could renege and make more money. Now, Reb Shimon said that that's specifically for the fruit monger, because he's the one who we expect to save it from the fire. Now, the interesting thing is that in this case, though, the fruit eater is his landlord, which means that if there's a fire, like this whole thing about who's going to save it from the fire is not actually an issue, because since the fruit monger is operating out of the fruit buyer's property, the fruit buyer is going to want to save his own property anyways. So of course the fruits are going to get saved anyways. So this isn't a concern about So therefore I may have thought to say that in that scenario, neither one can renege, because right, mida oraisa, money is kona. The only reason why Reb Shimon would say that the fruit monger could renege is because this fuchitecha balia. But here it's irrelevant, because the fruit buyer is the landlord who would save his fruits anyways. So this fuchitecha balia is irrelevant, and therefore I might think that in this case neither of them could renege, because in this case let's rely on the mida oraisa, which is that money is kona, right? So we're so pshita. Amar Rava Ocha Ma'iskinu. Here we're talking about kigon she'oiso aliyah shelokeach muskeres biad mocher. That the fruit buyer's property was being rented by the fruit monger. Now taima mai takinu rabbanon mishicha. How come the rabbi said that even though mido oraisa ma'os konos, but still we say you should be kona b'mishicha? It's because gzeru shem yomai lo nizvu chitecha bali, out of the concern for Nisifu chitecha ba'aliyah, but Ocha b'shuse delokeach ninu. But here, the fruit buyer owns the property that is potentially going to be burned down anyways. Enough l'deleka be'ones iutar chumaisila. And if there's a fire that breaks out, he would end up saving. So the whole concept of nisifu chitecha ba'aliyah is irrelevant here. So maybe we should rely upon the ma'os kolonos midoraisa, and say that neither one of them can renege. So the Chiddush is that no, even in this case, Reb Shimon would say that the fruit monger can renege. How gavad yoiv zuze achamra? Somebody had given money for wine, the sof shama, but then he had heard the kabar the mitzvei devei parzuk rufila, that then the viceroy wanted that wine. So I mean, chances are it's going to go to the viceroy, and he's concerned that he's going to lose his money. So he wants to renege after he gave the money. So he says to the wine seller, I want to renege. Havli zuzi, give me back my money. Lo ba'ino chamra, I don't want the wine anymore. The case came for Evchizda. Omele, and Evchizda says, k'derech shetiknu mashicha b'mochrin, kach tiknu mashicha b'lekuchas. Just like the seller can renege, so can the buyer. And, you know, in this particular case as well, it wouldn't be an issue of Misha Para, since, you know, the viceroy got involved and the situation got messy, and he can just say, look, just give me my money back, and I don't want to interfere with the viceroy. All right, Chevy, that was the I Gotta Run. That was the Mem Test of Masechta Bava Metzia. Open your peace out.